Life is a difficult path. Going to work every day is a difficult path. Doing something for yourself, yeah? The only thing here, do something for yourself. Neither difficult nor easy. Just doing. Yeah? Just bringing your mind back. Yeah? Bringing it back, you know, to the Buddha, or bringing it back to the breath around the tip of the nose. And the Lord Buddha teaches Anapanasati. Yeah? He didn't teach anything now. Anapanasati. Sati. Awareness of breathing and breathing. Nkuma added, you know, the Buddha. Yeah? Why? Yeah? I mean, he was on Kali and Chiang Mai, and the tribe, you know, the, thought that he was a tiger in disguise. Yeah? So, I mean, he had to teach these people. Yeah? I mean, so he was walking Chongkwa, yeah? Walking meditation, yeah? And the people looked at him and, what is he doing? Yeah? I mean, he couldn't tell the people, I lost my breath because nobody would believe him. Yeah? So you can think, I lost my Buddha. Can we help you to find it? Yes, we can help you to find it. What we do, yeah? If we put a Buddha, yeah? And some of them really got me going into Upacharya Abhinasana, yeah? Just by doing this. That's why, you know, good meditation was very common in the Kamatana, in the forest tradition in Thailand. So these two things, yeah? And then the Mahaprabhu said, you know, it's a difficult, you know, when your soul is breathing in and the world is breathing out. Anything else, yeah? Forget about it. And if we lock the door so that people don't come in, huh? We don't lock the door so, you know, No, it's not compassionate. I mean, why don't you have some compassion with me? Huh? I mean, compassion with a teacher, you know, who tries to teach you something, yeah? The wrong kind of compassion. I mean, people should know, you know, I mean, it's time, you know, it's even 15 past, you know, the time that the talk should start, right? So people should respect the Dhamma. And so yesterday, you know, I mean, in Thailand, you know, when there's a talk at 6:30, you know, the people arrive at 6 o'clock and wait for the teacher. But here the teacher in Singapore, Malaysia, or Indonesia, the teacher has to wait for the people to come. Huh? What kind of respect is that for the Dhamma? Huh? The Dhamma is the highest thing, you know, in this world. Huh? It's a teaching of the Lord Buddha. Everything else is good, you know, it's a vichana. The Dharma, the teaching, yeah? The teaching of the Lord Buddha, that teaches us, you know, I mean, about this world, about this universe, you know, about our teacher, about the five currents, about the creators, about everything, yeah? And it shows us the way up, yeah? But we are not interested in the way out, yeah? We like to live, you know, in this life, you know, and in the next life, you know, yeah? And in the next life, yeah? Sometimes we go down to hell, sometimes we are born in the animal world, sometimes we are born in the ghost world, yeah? I mean, so much fun, yeah? I mean, when you think about, you know, this world, it has, I don't know, 190 plus countries, yeah? So you can go into every country, you know, visit it, you know. In this universe, there are 31 realms of existence, yeah? How often have you been there? Yeah? Each time you come back, yeah? And then you have to prepare. You have to prepare for the next life, and then prepare for the next. Some of the lives that are in the lower realms are much more dukkha, yeah? Than we have as human beings. But we don't think we have enough dukkha, yeah? No? Huh? Yes, Yes, but you know, it's a smart product, you know, to overcome the dukkha, huh? So, to save the dukkha, you know, eat some happy foods, you know, that make you happy, you know, go a little bit shopping, you know, buy some new clothes or eat some nice food, you know, I mean, that makes us happy, you know, so we overcome it, you know, until death comes, you know, and then we suddenly get afraid, yeah. Where do we end up, huh? We don't know. Yeah? Most of us don't know. Yeah? Only few people are going to heaven, you know. Most of us don't know.
Don't worry, all your friends have.
So you can have some fun out there. Yeah? In the heavens, if you know, I mean, there's hardly anybody there, you know. So we are lost. At least that's what the Thai said. When you ask them, going to heaven, that is not comfortable. None of my friends are there, so I better go to heaven. lots of friends are there. That is enough. I mean, samsara. I mean, understand samsara. The enter cycle, you know, it's a cycle. You know, it's a, yeah. It's a cycle. It has no end. And it has no beginning. And as long as we are in samsara, you know, I mean, we are born and die, you know, go from this realm to that realm. Without any suffering, thereby called us a samsara hamster. Have you seen a hamster in hamster? Running, not going anywhere. Huh? That's us. One time after the other, we do the same thing over and over again. You can't get in again. Just like we have a car, you know, and then it crashes the car, we buy a new car, and then it crashes the car, we buy a new car, and until we run out of money, and then we have to go, you know, by foot, you know, in the sea. Yeah. That is how. Yeah. Until we can afford a new car. That's it. Yeah. This body, you know, I mean, we are so attached to this body, okay? Take care of this body all our life, and then you know this dead body dies. Yeah? I mean, this takes so much care of it. Huh? You gave him all the medicine, yeah? We eat more medicine than stable food, yeah? And you know, we exercise, and still this body dies. All our effort, yeah? All our effort we put into this body, huh? And none of the effort we put into training the driver, huh? You crash one car after the other, but you never train the driver, you know? Neither crash the next car as well, yeah? No? Huh? Let us then. We work for this body, we house this body, we clothe this body, we know we shop, we see the doctor, yeah? And the older we get, the more we see the doctor, you know. We can actually put a tent into the doctor's house sometimes. Or into the hospital, yeah. And the older we get, you know, the more afraid we get. So all our, you know, if you work for this body, you know, is it too much fun to work for this body? Yeah? Come on, yeah. To house it, you know, to feed it, to clothe it, you know, and to go and buy some medicine, yeah? That's what we do all our life, yeah? And if we have a little bit of free time, yeah? What do we use it for? Grand generation, the joy of generation. Playing with that smartphone, huh? Wasting time, killing time. We have so much time, huh? Why don't we use it for something, you know, that is worthwhile, yeah? Training the mind, training the old obstacle. How about this? It's much easier to go, you know, 8 hours and do a job, you know, I mean, okay. And then come home, you know, eat something, you know, watch television, you know, or, you know, nowadays, watch our smartphone, yeah? And then go to sleep. And then just wait for death to come. And when death comes, you know, we don't know where we end up. Yeah? It's depending, you know, it depends on our karma of this life. It depends on, yeah, if you take the five precepts. You know about the five precepts, yeah? Huh? If you keep the five precepts, I mean, you have the right to come back. Yeah? If you don't keep the five precepts, it's just like, you know, taking a passport away, you cannot come back to Singapore. Because you have no passport. Huh? Yeah. And that's the same thing. Keeping the five precepts, you know, gives us the right to come back as a human being. Or sometimes, you know, if you have the merit, you know, go to the heavenly realms. But if you don't keep the five precepts, I mean, you just go down. Go down to the lower realms. If you're lucky, you go to the coast realms. You know, if you're not so lucky, you go to the heavenly realms. Huh? If you're very unlucky, you know, you go to the animal realm. Huh? And coming back from the animal realm, you know, it's a long time. But it's a long time to go to the coast. Every 100 years, you know, see totally, you know, and dives up, you know, to the top of the sea, you know, and there's one ring, yeah. Whenever it, you know, hits this ring, you know, then it becomes like a thing. So long times. How many animals are in this? Yeah. Trillions, bazillions, you know, whatever. There have also been dead human beings before. They started to hunt animals, they started to kill animals, and then they are born as animals. Yeah? And then they go down the track, you know, until they, you know, come back, you know, and don't feed another animals, and then slowly come up. Yeah? Takes a long time, many thousands, many millions of births, you know, die as an animal, born as an animal, you know, before they come back as a human being. So don't waste your time. As a human being, you make the most out of it. Don't only look after the body, look after the mind, because the mind is responsible for this body. I mean, the body that you own right now is the body born out of your karma. Yeah. Where are you born, you know, what kind of family, what kind of country you are born, it's all dependent on your karma. Yeah. The karma that you create. Karma is created by intention. Huh? The intention to do something, to say something, you know, or to express something. Huh? That is the karma that we create day by day, in day out. Yeah? When we sleep, we don't create karma, but we die. When we awake, we create karma. This thought, you know, creates karma. Yeah? That word, you know, creates karma. That action creates karma. Yeah? So what are the five precepts that protect us? Yeah. Not harming any living being. That is the first precept. Second precept is not taking what is not given. Yeah. Going to a friend's house, you know, or to a relative, you know, and going to the fridge and taking out this without permission, you know, is against the precept. If you didn't specify, yeah, go ahead, you know, do whatever you want. Yeah. But they normally don't. Yeah, so, yeah. Have you broken this precept? Yeah, every one of us probably, yeah. Working in a company, you know, taking this from the company, taking that from the company, is breaking the precept, yeah? Because the company officially didn't give it to us. So, what is the precept? You know, it is no sexual misconduct. What is sexual misconduct? Yeah, being unfaithful in a relationship, yeah? No matter if you're married or if you're just, you know, if you're just partners, yeah? If you're partners, you know, if you're unfaithful in your partnership, it's sexual misconduct, yeah? Using anybody that is dependent on you, yeah? Children, you know, or students, yeah? Students in school, students, you know, at university, you know, it's all sexual misconduct, yeah? A professor, you know, who has sex with his students, yeah? Or a teacher who has sex with his students, it's all sexual misconduct. And parents who have sex with their kids, you know, it's sexual misconduct, yeah? And when you look at the world, you know, I mean, you just see what's this stuff. Anybody, you know, I mean, we are dependent on the boss, you know, or our company, if he uses us, you know, for his sexual pleasure, sexual misconduct, yeah? I was in the secretary, you know, I was very famous then. But what is the next one? The fourth precept, you don't know lies, no harsh speech, yeah? No harmful speech, yeah?
It would be nice, it would be nice to know if we would be aware of what we are talking sometimes, eh? I mean, before, when, before we think, you know, I mean, we, before we speak, we should think, yeah? In German, we have the saying, before you say something, you know, turn on your brain. Of what you're saying, why you're saying, and what is the result of your saying, yeah? What do we do? We speak first and then think later. Yeah? Oh, why did I say that? Huh? Yeah? What was the purpose of it? Huh? Somebody, you know, somebody aggravated me and I just responded. Yeah? Yeah? That is, you know, I think it's harmful speech, you know, it's just, yeah. And sometimes it makes a proper speech as well. Huh? You just lie, you know, somebody accuses of something and you don't want to give it to me. What's that? Oh, no, I didn't do that. It's a lie, yeah? So that is the precept, yeah? That's the fourth precept. The fifth precept is not no alcohol, no drugs, everything that makes us unmindful, yeah? Unaware of our actions, yeah? And that, I like to include into this precept, yeah? Not using a smartphone, yeah? Because it's an addiction, yeah? It's addictive. I mean, you've got it all the time, you know. I mean, whenever you go to bed, you put it there, you know. Whenever you go out, you put it in your pocket, you know, or in your handbag, yeah. I mean, it is really addictive, yeah. I mean, when did this start? 10 years ago, huh? And the addiction was so hot, huh? I mean, it's just like heroin, you know, you use it once, you know, and you can't let go of it, huh? No? Huh? I see old people, I see young people, you know, playing, you know, I mean, constantly texting, yeah. I mean, this morning I was in makeup, you know, they were running and texting somebody, you know, I'm just working out, I'm working out, yeah. I mean, things like that, you know, I mean, what kind of word are we living in, huh? Not even being able to talk to each other, now we have to text each other, huh? Sitting in a cafe, you know, four people sitting there, you know, drinking together coffee and texting each other. What kind of world is that? Next life, you know, we are not born with a head, you know, we are born with a smartphone on top of us. Yeah? Everybody can put in the messages, yeah. And I mean, that is, you know, it becomes so addictive, so that we forget, you know, to learn, you know, the language of communication. Communicating with somebody else, yeah? When we text, you know, somebody, you know, even when we call somebody on the phone, you don't see the reaction of his face, yeah? It's very important, you know, a child learns that, you know, from his first year, yeah? I mean, you need to see the reaction of the face, you know, when somebody's talking to him, yeah? For 3 years, you know, we wear this stupid mask, you know, and nobody, yeah? I mean, I don't like to talk to people with this mask on. Yeah? I said, no, I don't talk to you, you know. Yeah? Take the mask off so that I can see, you know. Yeah? We succumb to everything, yeah, in our life. Yeah? Not even thinking about it, you know, is it worthwhile? Is it, you know, is it proper? Yeah? So, this five precepts, yeah, remember them very well, yeah? Put them into your heart, and from today on, no matter what you did in the past, from today on, you keep this five precepts. Yeah? Don't go against it, yeah? But of course, you know, we need to train, you know, this sati, this awareness, you know, to behave to keep that, yeah? Otherwise, it doesn't work, yeah? If you are unmindful, you know, I mean, that's why alcohol, you know, and drugs are completely forbidden, yeah? Yeah, against the precept, yeah. Because when we drink, you know, we say things or we do things that are completely against the precept, yeah. So remember very well, you know, especially if you want to become better as a human being, yeah. I love them, you're going to keep them. Yeah? I mean, it's like my life. Yeah? And having some life, you know, I mean, wow. Just week, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha never wanted to talk about hell, you know. But in the middle end stage, there are two sutras where he talks about that. Yeah? Now listen to what is happening to you for each lie that you tell, you know, I mean, your tongue is ripped off. For each alcohol that you drink, you know, you drink fire, yeah? And that is really nice. And so on. Read it yourself. And I don't want to talk about it with you guys. Or when you see these people, you know, come and tell you, this is so sorry, yeah? But when they are human beings, they don't care, yeah? That's why. They don't know. That's it, they don't know. And they don't care about the precepts, you know. But once they go to the hell, they go, oh, it's so terrible, it's so terrible. Then they come out of hell and do the same thing again. The children go down to hell again. I mean, this is so stupid, you know. We never learn from our mistakes. Just like countries never learn from their mistakes. Just like us, you know, we don't learn from our mistakes. We do things over and over and over. The Lord Buddha talked about enough. I mean, 70% of the human race has no chance, you know. They're only raised down to hell. 70%, okay. We call them the Pata Parama, yeah. The one who knows that they have no hope, yeah. The hopeless people, yeah. But we, at least, we have hope, yeah. We have a hope, yeah. Once in a while you're interested, you know, in religion, yeah. Once in a while you're interested, you know, in keeping the precepts, yeah. We call it asana, yeah. The swinging forth and swinging back. One time, you know, okay, let's go on a retreat. And then after the retreat, let's go and have some food and go some shopping, you know. And then, you know, we should go back to your retreat, you know, or we should, you know, keep the five precepts. We are the nails swinging forth and back, yeah? So we have at least a chance, you know, not to go down to hell, yeah? We have the chance to come back as a human being. These are 30%, you know, who are interested in religion, you know, in fact, they're some part of the religion. No matter what religion, you know? I mean, they're all the religion teaches us to be good. With human beings, yeah, not caring how to be. So, we're going to have to
once we get out of the university or once we finish school, we start to work, yeah?
and then you're retired, right? And then we have no more strength. We use all our strength to work for this body. Yeah? And then we just wait for that, yeah? To come. Yeah. You're waiting for that, I'm waiting for that, yeah? Other people are waiting for that to come, yeah? We just kill our time, you know, whatever we do. Go in this and this place, go in this and that place, yeah? Not kill our time, you know. But what was it yesterday? Where did we go to this, Tani, where did we go? To this store where we see a lot of old people in our looking at the clouds, you know, and the trees, you know, and the cloud forest. Oh, man. When they go home, you know, talk about it, you know, and where did we go? Yeah, I mean, that's it, yeah. I mean, that is life in a nutshell, you know, we actually. And we work on this body and then we wait for death. All the life belongs to the self. We are born, you know, we grow old, we get sick, and then we die. Oh. And if you don't make anything out of it, you know, I mean, then we start all over. Because yeah. I can answer and answer. Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, when we go up and down, yeah, and then I call it all across. Going up very, very slowly. Yeah. But you know, the time comes when we go down. Yeah. Yeah. When we go down to hell, and then we slowly go to hell, up to heaven, and then we go down to hell again, and then we go up, you know. And then in the meantime, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, straighten down the book, and then come in one book. Yeah. If we come, we have to go up and go down again. Yeah. As a human being. Because that's where we create most of our karma. Yeah. And animals in our dogs, yeah. Of course we must create a lot of karma. Yeah. But animals in dogs in our life, they just, you know, they just use up their karma. Yeah. Walk away our karma. Because in hell we just use up our karma. There are five different types. Yeah. Every health, you know, every different type of self or love itself, yeah, has five different levels. Just like it does. And when you go against the law, yeah, you put it in prison. Sometimes only one year, sometimes you know for life. Yeah. Depending on, you know, whatever you did. Yeah. No. And that's the same with hell. Sometimes you go to hell, to this kind of hell, if you kill a person, then you go to this kind of hell. If you lie, you go to that kind of hell. If you hate drugs, you go to that kind of hell. You know, that different kind of stuff. And that's why you go to the Mahabhu, and you go to the teacher, and you say, I went up to this kind of hell, and then I went down to this kind of hell, and then I went up to that kind of hell, and then I went down to this kind of hell, before I looked at you, and I said, you can be. Yeah. And that's. Yeah, that's for people, you know, who are nameless, yeah, who are sinful and negative. Yeah. The other ones, they are just going down. So, it is up to you, it's your life, it's your responsibility. Nobody else has the responsibility over your life. What do you do with your life? It is up to you. Yeah. And there's nobody, yeah, there's nobody, you know, who tells you what to do except yourself. Yeah. And there's nobody encouraging you to do what you feel is necessary to do. If you want to do it, then do it. Yeah. That's the freedom. That's the freedom of human beings. Yeah? It should be. Yeah. But are we really human beings? Or what is it called? Humanoid androids, yeah? I mean, that's what I mean, you know? If you speak, you know, look at your life, yeah? You know, tomorrow you're going to work and then face the situation. What am I going to do when I'm going to face the situation? So you work on yourself, yeah? So, where's the difference between a robot and a human, yeah?
When I see my parents, then I have to say this, I will do this. When I see this person, I will say this, I will do this. When I get angry, it's not running. No? Yeah. I mean, we cannot go into a situation where we don't know what's going to happen. We have to reprogram. And according to these programs, we have. That is not a human being. Yeah, that is a human android, or robot, pre-programmed. And we do that every moment of our life. What am I going to do next? What am I going to do in my life? We don't even know if you're alive or if you want to be alive. We don't even know if you're going to be past yourself. We don't even know if you're going to be laid off. So we need to program ourselves enough. Why? Because we are afraid of the unknown. You cannot handle the unknown. That's why we need to program. And of course, we program ourselves based on the experience we have in this life. But we have an unexpected situation comes, we don't know how to handle it. Because we are actually afraid. Sometimes it happens in meditation, something unexpected happens, and then you get afraid. So when I come up here, I don't know what to say. I don't know. I have to look at the people, I said to the people, what do they want to know? If I see a wall, I cannot say anything, If I see some people who are being interested in our life, I might, sometimes something comes up, I mean, sometimes people visit me, And I look at them, they look at me. And that's it. I don't know what to say now because there is no interest in our reading in the Dharma. And I only act on the interest in the Dharma. Why is it such an emotion?
So I don't know. I go. I don't know. I just look. What is happening? I mean, that is the freedom of choice. I go and then I look. Oh, what is happening? And then I act according to the situation. And if I'm aware of what is going on, I can act, appropriately. And how often do not act appropriately? We programmed ourselves, and then afterwards we think, why did you do that? Why did you do that? It was so stupid, Because we programmed ourselves, We didn't act accordingly, And especially, if you're married for a long time, you're so completely programmed, You see your wife and you think, she acted like this, or you see your husband and you think, she acted like that, and there's no life in it anymore, remember when you first met, That was exciting, You didn't know, So, you had to play, around, you had to be fresh, But now you're a complete, he goes this, she goes that way, And, sometimes you live, you live in the same room, but live far apart, That's what is happening, Because you lost the communication, because you lost the livelihood of being a human being, A human being, That is, it is there, It's present, It doesn't live on programs, It sees what is happening and can react accordingly, That's what a human being is, But when you look at the world, they're all robots, androids, With human faces, the perfect android, here, any kind of robot company, would be envious of these perfect androids that are there, But sometimes we don't act, Sometimes we act as humans, Sometimes, Sometimes, you know, I mean, we do something and then suddenly something comes up. What am I doing? Why am I here? Why I was born? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, once in a lifetime, you know, it comes up. Yeah. Oh, boop, yeah. Wake up and then we instantly go to sleep again. We don't like this kind of questions, yeah? That you know, I mean, that, you know, puts us into an unknown state, yeah? That's why I said, you know, we are afraid of the unknown, yeah? We cannot bear a situation where we don't know how to react, yeah? That's why we have to program ourselves. No? So, what else is there to talk about it, yeah? Karma, huh? Whatever happens to you right now, yeah, is the result of your own doing. Yeah? No? Somebody else did it to us, huh? Yeah. My wife, yeah? My husband, yeah? Or the government, yeah? Or my boss, you know? Or my colleague, you know? They are all guilty of me being unhappy. No? Yeah? Not me. I'm perfect. Yeah? I can criticize everybody here in this room, you know, but I'm perfect. Yeah? No. Whatever happens to me, yeah, is because of my own karma. Yeah? We have the saying, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you, for whatever is happening to you right now is what you have done unto others. You don't know the second part, huh? But it's a logical conclusion, yeah, of the first part, yeah? Why would we say you don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you if that is not what is happening to you right now, yeah? So, just this, if you have that constantly into your mind, you know, in your heart, you know, to guide you, I mean, actually, your life would improve a lot. Yeah? Because we could take the things, you know, that come our way and say, hello, there you are already. Yeah? I didn't expect you so early. But, you know, okay, I'll take you. Yeah? Let's get rid of it, you know, let's get rid of this karma, yeah? And look in our heart, you know, what kind of karma, you know, what kind of intention are creating this kind of karma, and let's get rid of these intentions, yeah? And then this karma is gone, yeah? But what we do, we fight the karma, and the karma comes stronger and stronger and stronger until we are pressed against the wall and cannot defeat it, yeah? Or we're going down in hell and have to experience it, huh? That's it, yeah? So accept it, yeah? Don't blame anybody else, yeah? Especially not your partner, you know, or your teacher, or your boss, you know? Huh? It's your own, let's say, fault, no? Or it's your own doing, yeah? That's, if you realize that, yeah? That whatever happens to you is because of your own doing, yeah? I mean, you can live pretty much, not a happy life, but, you know, a satisfactory life, yeah? And when you see what kind of intentions, you know, lead to good results, I mean, you can improve that, yeah? And then more and more, the more you improve your life, the more you do good, you know, the more you do wholesome things, yeah? I mean, the better your life gets, not only in this life, but, you know, mostly in the next life, yeah? Because the karma that we experience right now is the karma from our previous lives, yeah? And there's nothing we can do against it, yeah? It comes back at the right time, you know, whenever the karma ripens, yeah? It's just like, you know, just like the farmer, you know, who sows the seed of rice, you know, or whatever, yeah? I mean, he has to wait 6 months, you know, in order to get the results of his sowing the seed, yeah? And it's just like with our karma, yeah? Today, you know, we sow some seeds of karma, you know, I mean, it will ripen in 60 years, yeah? Or in the next lifetime, yeah? It doesn't come instantly. You know, a lot of people on YouTube post instant karma. There's no instant karma. Yeah? It takes a long, long, long time to ripen. Yeah? I mean, the earliest, you know, I mean, can be 40 or 50, 60 years, yeah? But most of the karma, you know, is coming back in the next life, yeah? So prepare your bags, yeah? Prepare your bags, you know, because sooner or later we die, you know, we want to have a heavy bag of good, wholesome things, you know, and a very light bag of unwholesome things, yeah? Prepare the bag now, yeah? Put all these good, nice things in there, you know, because we're going on a trip, you know, when we die. It's just like you go on a trip to Malaysia or Indonesia. I mean, you pack only the things that you want there, you know, and then you go there, you know, and you use up some of it, you know, and you buy some new things, you know, then you bring it back to home, you know, and then you go to another country, pack other different things, you know. Yeah, that's it, yeah. It's karma, yeah? That's going from one life to the next life, yeah? We have a whole store, you know, when we go back, yeah? When we die, we go back to our home, you know, and there's a whole store of karma, you know? So for the next life, we pack this kind of karma and then use it up, yeah? And create new karma, you know? So it's like going on a trip, yeah? Think about it like this, yeah? So do prepare yourself, yeah? And if you know that, you know, I mean, that is important for you, yeah? And then if you do some meditation, yeah? If you develop some awareness, yeah? About what is going on in your life, yeah? And that's what you're here for, you know, for the next 5 days, to develop this sati, this awareness, yeah? Of what we're doing, why we're doing, and what the results of our doing is, yeah? I mean, this can better our life, yeah? Especially, you know, when we, in the evening, we reflect about the day. What did I do? What did I say? What did I, you know? What kind of results did it have? Yeah? Huh? Do we ever ask that? We just do things, we just speak things, you know, we never look at the results of our doing or of our actions, yeah? Of our sayings, yeah? Once we, you know, once every day, you know, we look at, yeah, what we are doing, why we are doing it, you know, what the results it has, yeah. I mean, our life has to become better, yeah. But I call this daily reflection, yeah. I mean, you have to do the daily reflection every day, yeah. And the most important thing is don't judge. Don't say it was good or bad. Let the heart decide what is good and bad. Because the heart knows what is wholesome and unwholesome. You just show the heart what you did, yeah? Why you did it, what you did, and what the results of it was. Yeah? And the heart knows, this was wholesome, so I want to do more of it. Because the heart is the prime mover, yeah? It's not the mind, huh? You cannot let go of something. You cannot let go of greed or hate, yeah? I mean, it automatically comes up. Somebody says something, you know, and you act, you know, aggressively, yeah? Or, you know, I mean, you see something and you want it, you know, it actually comes out. So you have to show the heart that, you know, what it wants or how it acts is not wholesome. Once the heart knows, you know, it lets go. Our mind, you know, we can say it so often, you know, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, but the heart goes and does it. Yeah? No? Yes. We can refrain, you know, but we cannot let go. The heart is the only thing that can let go. Yeah? The heart is like, you know, a little child, you know, who has his hands burning on the fire, yeah, and it's constant pain, but always looks the other side, other way. And sees a shadow and says, this is causing my pain, or that is causing my pain, that is causing my pain. So what we do in meditation, we turn our head, you know, towards the hand. And once the child sees the hand is on fire, you don't have to tell him anything. Boop! It retracts automatically, yeah. That is the way of the heart, yeah. But our mind, yes, I shouldn't do this, yes, I shouldn't do this, yes, it's not good, you know, but we still do it, yeah? That's the mind, yeah? It cannot let go. But the heart can let go. Yeah? The heart is the only thing. Yeah? But you have to show the heart what it does. Yeah? And that is, you know, that is one part of meditation that we have to learn. Yeah? And the daily reflection shows us. Yeah? And I can guarantee you, you know, if you do that really daily, yeah, I mean, within 1 or 2 years, you know, your life becomes so much better, so much more joyful. Yeah? Because you let go of all these things, yeah? When I started doing this, you know, this meeting, you know, doesn't really bring anything. These friends are not really friends, you know. I mean, they are just comrades, you know. I mean, who... what they are doing is not really wholesome. So, you let go of these, yeah? And at the same time, you find new friends, you know, who support you in your activities, yeah? That's it, yeah? Don't program yourself. Because that would be also programmed. No, I want to see this person, I want to see that person. No, let the heart decide, yeah, what it wants, what it is wholesome. That is the thing, yeah? But it's difficult for us, huh? Isn't it? Let the heart decide. We don't know what it decides, yeah? Maybe it decides something that we don't want, yeah? Maybe it decides, you know, to become a monk, and I don't want to become a monk, yeah? That's what my mind said, you know, what my heart said, you know, you should go, you know, you should leave, you should leave your work, you know, you should give away everything. Mind said, no, 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 I don't want to do, yeah? But the heart says, yes, you should do it, you know, in the end I did it, yeah? And I was happy, yeah, to do it, yeah? But it takes some time, yeah? And that is, you know, what is showing the heart, you know, showing the heart what it does, you know, what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. If you do that, you know, I mean, our life certainly turns to the better, even in this life, yeah? No matter what kind of karma comes up on our way, yeah? Because we can deal with it, yeah? There's no karma that destroys us, yeah? Only if we oppose it, it can destroy us, yeah? If we oppose the karma that comes our way, yeah? Then it can destroy us, yeah? But if the karma that comes our way, you know, I mean, it's always, you know, one of my first teachers said, what can I learn from this situation? And then you turn something that is terrible into something that is positive. Yeah? You can always learn something from a situation. Yeah? No? Sometimes you have to bite your teeth, you know, or put some, you know, stick into it. Yeah? But you still can learn something. Yeah? And nothing, yeah? Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, it is hurtful, you know, it's hurtful, you know. Sometimes I was sitting there for 4 hours and crying because it was so hurtful, yeah. But then it's over, you know. The situation has passed, you know, and then the sun shines again, yeah. Good, yeah. It's coming up and it's coming down, you know, and that's what you see, yeah. In the beginning, it goes up very high and goes down very low, yeah? And then, you know, towards the end, the more you investigate or the more you reflect, you know, the more you listen to the heart, the more, the very shallow waves, yeah? Little bit up, little bit down, little bit up, little bit down until it becomes constant, yeah? Constant happiness, yeah? And that's what we aspire for. Okay, so... I think enough for today is enough, yeah? I mean, there's not much more going into your brain, yeah? If I say too much, you know, you forget the beginning of it, yeah? Okay, so? You're open to questions, yeah?
Any questions? Raise your hand and ask them. I'm quite interested in what you said about not opposing one's karma. So I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on that, especially in the context of, let's say, people who have a desire to practice Dharma quite seriously, but find themselves born into families of a different religion that oppose Buddhism quite a bit. So I was also wondering if you could shed some insight on what
I don't really know if I understood your questions, but you know, I mean, what you can do is you make the best out of the situation, yeah? I mean, if you want to get ordained, you can ordain as a Meji. I mean, and the Mejis in Thailand have reached arahantship just the same way as monks. So, I mean, what is so bad about this situation? Yeah? I know for a woman it is more difficult, you know, I mean, yeah? Mejis, you know, it is quite tough, yeah? But it was also tough at the times of the Lord Buddha. The Lord Buddha didn't want to ordain bhikkhunis, yeah? They didn't want to ordain, women, yeah? He said, you know, I mean, if I ordain women, my teaching will only last 5,000 years instead of 10,000 years, yeah? Yeah? And when you look, you know, when you look at the rules for the monks and the rules for the women, I mean, it is full of, you know, the sexual misconduct, you know, between these two, huh? So if they are only monks, you know, I mean, there is no problem, you know, with women. You know, if they are nuns, you know, and monks, you know. I saw it, you know, when I was in England, you know, I mean, so many monks disrobed with a nun. Yeah, so-called nun, yeah. Huh? Yeah, I mean, the sexual craving is there, huh? Everybody of us knows it, yeah. There's sexual craving, yeah. Raga tanha, you know, sensual desires, you know, and it is the worst thing, yeah. And there's only one way to overcome it, and that is a super meditation, yeah. Tomorrow I will talk about the investigation, you know, and I will mention it, yeah. The only way to overcome, you know, one sensual desire is, you know, to see the loathsomeness, yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha taught about it, yeah. But the Westerners don't talk about it, huh? Do you hear any super meditation, you know, from Western monks who come here? Yeah, they don't do it. Yeah? Oh, the body is so nice, it's so beautiful, you know. You open it up and it's full of shit, yeah? Huh? I mean, look at the food, you know, you just digest it, you know, I mean, it comes out as shit, yeah? So, somebody tells me, you know, you're full of shit, I said, yes, I'm full of shit, I know that. Yeah, I mean, why not say it, yeah? If somebody says, yeah, you're an asshole? Yes, I'm sure, yeah, I have an asshole, yeah? Take the things, you know, turn it around to something positive, yeah? People, you know, always, you know, some people will always try to offend you. Other people, you know, will try to praise you, you know. And what did the Lord Buddha say about this? Yeah? Praise and blame, you know, it is, you know, what makes the world go around, yeah? And that's, yeah? Don't take the praise, don't take the blame, you know, I mean, live a constant life, yeah? But a lot of, you know, especially Western monks, you know, take the praise, you know, they see all these little, you know, I must be great, yeah? But they are not great, yeah? Because when the lay people, you know, prostrate, you know, to monks, they prostrate to the Buddha, to the Dhamma, and to the Sangha. And the Sangha is the holy monks, yeah? And if anybody takes it personally, you know, he's screwed, yeah? Did it answer your question or what? What?
Yeah. I was wondering what I did in my past life that ended me in this situation, what I can do in this life to prevent this happening again in my next life.
I mean, sometimes we are born into a family because of our relation to the family. It has nothing to do with religion, yeah? I was born in a very Christian family, you know? That's what? Yeah? I mean, every Sunday morning we went to church, you know, we read the Psalms, you know, and everything like that, you know, so I mean, And then when I said, you know, I become a monk, you know, my father said, you know, you're asocial, yeah? And my mother said, you go to hell. And then I told her, you know, if that where I'm going to is hell, I mean, I love it. But you have to practice before that, yeah? I mean, you cannot just, you know, use somebody else's replies, you know, and put it out. It has to come from your heart, and then the parents understand it, yeah? I mean, when I started meditation, and it was really tough, you know, it was really tough on me, yeah? My mother said, you know, what are you doing? I said, I meditate, you know, I practice, you know. She said, this is wrong, this is wrong. Mother, I said, Mother, you don't understand. Yeah, I mean, I listen to you so often, you know, but this one, you don't understand. Huh? 2 years later, yeah, I mean, I changed about 180 degrees, and then she asked, what are you doing? Yeah, Martin, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm practicing meditation. Oh, can I do that as well? You have to show, you have to be, you know, a monk has to be the example, yeah, so that people can look up, yeah. Not just words, you know, that throw at you, you know, just like Christian preach, you know. They preach something and do something else, yeah? No? Yeah, sorry. No, you have to be true to yourself, yeah? Whatever you preach, is that what you have done, yeah? And then it is true and it comes across as true, yeah? So practice, practice until, you know, you reach a certain level, you know, of confidence, you know, in your practice, and then you can tell your parents, yeah. Then it becomes very what? I thought I talked about sati being mind emptiness.
Yeah, but then you also talk about one-pointedness. So I also feel like sometimes I'm trying to strain, and then I realize I'm just staring.
Don't worry yet about one-pointedness. You know, that becomes after, you know, upacara samadhi becomes apana samadhi. Apana samadhi is one-pointedness. I mean, try to get in upacara samadhi where the mind is completely still. Yeah, and You do, most of you will do one mistake, yeah? I mean, the moment the mind gets calm, you go into the calmness instead of the breath. Huh? And that's where, you know, where the meditation, you know, goes into sleepiness, you know? Yeah? Because, I mean, normally when we calm, we fall asleep, yeah? I mean, that's how we get, yeah? I mean, we don't fall asleep when we have to think so much, you know? I mean, then we are worried about this, worried about that. We don't fall asleep, yeah? But when the mind gets calm, yeah, we snore off, yeah? The other thing that I mentioned this morning that is very important for us to develop and that is very difficult for us to develop is the sati, this knowingness of the breath, yeah? The breath goes in, the breath goes out, the breath is long, the breath is short, the breath is at the beginning, it's in the middle, towards the end, you know, it changes from in-breath to out-breath and from out-breath to in-breath. You have to follow every step. And this knowingness, yeah, once the breath becomes very subtle, this knowingness becomes so distinct that it is even stronger than the feeling of the breath. But we are not willing to, yeah, because it takes a lot of effort to know the breath at every moment, yeah. That's why we just go with the breath, and then we go and fall asleep, yeah. Developing the sati, you know, I mean, samadhi has two aspects, you know, and I tell the people all the time, yeah. I mean, develop the sati, develop the knowingness, yeah. Doesn't matter if it is a Buddha or, you know, if it is a breath. Develop this knowingness about the object that you observe. Yeah? The object is pinpointed by your concentration. Yeah, it's around the tip of the nose or pinpointed to the Buddha. And then know about the object what it does. And then you don't fall asleep. Yeah. Yeah? And then, you know, it doesn't matter. And then you know that the breath becomes subtle. And the knowingness of the breath, you know, and actually the knowingness of the whole breath body becomes so, yeah, so imminent, yeah, that you don't, you know, you don't fall asleep, yeah. You become more and more and more awake, yeah. But it's difficult. I know lots of people, you know, oh, the mind is calm, let's go with the calm, you know, there's a happy feeling, oh, let's go with the happy feeling, and then 5 minutes later the samadhi is gone, yeah. And then we have to do it again, and then we get tired, yeah? When we enter upachara samadhi, there's a way, you know, I mean, to know that we really entered upachara samadhi. When we come out of upachara samadhi, I mean, we feel refreshed and we feel concentrated, yeah? When we only, yeah? I mean, I normally, you know, when people, please don't drink, huh? And I see there's still a person with a mask on, yeah? I hate this so much. Yeah, you cough, yeah? I mean, 5 years ago, you know, you coughed and you didn't have a mask on. Huh? No? Where was I? Ah, yeah. So, people go, you know, if you don't develop this knowingness, you know, or this awareness of the breath, yeah? I mean, then people see, you know, I mean, they start, you know, open the door to upachara samadhi. Ah, so nice, you know. And then they close the door in front of them, yeah? Huh? And then they open again. Ah, so nice, you know. And then close the door in front of them. And then, ah, so nice. And when you come out, you know, of your samadhi or of your meditation, you feel tired. Because you constantly open the door and close it, open the door and close it, yeah, open the door and get in, you know, and close it behind you. And then you feel refreshed. Okay? Yeah?
Like, for example, like, when you get into a samadhi,
yeah.
Like, in one day, let's say you get into samadhi 2 times. But then you get in, you're okay, and then you come out, and then again in the afternoon you go in. But when you come up, because you're not used to it, you get tired after that.
No, you don't get tired. When you go into samadhi, yeah, and you get out, you're always refreshed, you're energized.
Yeah.
And the longer you've been in upachara samadhi, the more you're energized. So probably the second time you just open the door and close it, open, close, open, close. Yeah.
I understand your open close, but concretely, what does it mean?
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
What did you do wrong? The moment you open the door and you feel the freshness, yeah, you go on to the freshness instead of the knowingness of the breath. You're looking, yeah. I mean, there's an expectation, yeah. I mean, you see it, it's coming up, you know, I mean, it feels fresh, it feels calm, you know, and then you go into the calmness, yeah? You look for the expectation instead of doing the work, yeah? And that is what is the problem.
Yes, expectation is a big problem. But, okay, like, even one day retreat, you already feel it, you know, and then when you protract it over 1 month.
Yeah?
Yeah, so, that's why I don't like long retreat, because you just say samadhi, but then after 1 week you get tired.
No, you get bored. And because your interest is not there. I mean, in the morning I talked about interest. 100% instant interest is 100% concentration. I mean, the breath changes all the time. Yeah, it gets, you know, from rough to detailed. It gets from long to short, or from short to long. You know, the in-breath, you know. So, I mean, you can stay there with all the time. You know, if you're interested in. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen anybody who really dives into some upachara samadhi or apana samadhi who is bored of it. Yeah. He enjoys the next session, you know, he can't wait, you know. I mean, he has to go to the toilet, you know, and pee, you know, and then he comes back and instantly sits down, you know. He doesn't want to lose 1 minute of it. Yeah? So there's something wrong with the samadhi that you practice, yeah?
Yeah.
What?
The expectation is there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to fight the expectation, you know, I had to fight it, you know, every one of us has to fight it, especially, you know, if you went really deep into Upachara Samadhi and it was such a nice experience, you know, the next time you want it again, you want it again, and it, of course it doesn't come, no? Because, you know, you're looking for something that does not exist if you don't do the work. So do the work and you will enjoy it every time you do it.
Using Buddha.
Yeah.
I think it really worked for me with walking meditation, focusing on the breath instead of the feet. Can I ask what do you do if you use Buddha and, for example, when you're sitting and it gets like bright, did you just ignore the brightness?
Yes.
And you just go away?
Yeah. Try to ignore the brightness, yeah? If the brightness becomes so bright that it is disturbing your Buddha, then bring the brightness into your heart, yeah? Use it like a flashlight, you know, to shine into your heart, yeah? But normally it doesn't, you know, most of the time we can still focus on the Buddha, you know, and just ignore it, yeah? If you ignore it for a while, it will never come again, yeah? I mean, that's what happened to me, yeah? I mean, yes, it happens. It's a sign of concentration. Actually, it's a good sign, you know. It's a good sign, you know, when there's some bright light coming up, you know, it's a good sign. But we should never concentrate on it, yeah. Unless it becomes disturbing.
Thank you. May I also clarify your response earlier to Marisa, where you mentioned when the breath gets slow,
yeah.
Then focus on the knowing and don't return to the breath. Is that right?
Yes, but you focus on the knowing all the time. Yeah. I mean that is the biggest problem for most of the meditators. They focus on the breath, you know, and then the breath becomes subtle, you know, and they don't feel it anymore, and then they come up and ask me, I mean my breath disappears, yeah? No, the breath does not disappear, the interest in the breath disappears, yeah. So develop it from the beginning, yeah. I mean once you get a little bit calm, you know, once you feel the breath, you know the breath. Yeah. And then you don't have any problems going deeper and deeper and deeper.
Hello. Thank you, Lord Paul. May I know how to progress from Upachara Samadhi into Appana Samadhi?
What are you doing? Are you doing the Buddha or the breath?
Breath.
Mm-hmm. So how is the breath at the moment? Don't use the words apana, upachara, samadhi. Tell me your experience of your practice.
The breath stopped. Or no sense of the breath.
Yeah, I mean that can be disinterest in the breath. What happens before the breath? Yeah, there is breath, and you know, I mean, how do you feel the breath? Where do you feel it? Or where do you know it? Yeah,
but it's not a sensation. Until if you want to know the breath and focus on the feel the nose, then it becomes conscious.
No, I mean, if you really in Upachara Samadhi, I mean, yeah, the knowingness of the breath is there, down there in the citta. I mean, that's where automatically, you know, I mean, it automatically drops down, yeah? I mean, the moment the breath becomes so subtle that you cannot feel it anymore, yeah? But you know it, then the knowingness drops where it comes from, Yeah? That's why we develop the knowingness in the beginning, yeah? When it drops down to the citta. Yeah? And then what is happening is, you know, I mean, the sensation, the hearing, and everything goes away. Yeah? And even the body goes away. You don't feel anything anymore. You know, you just know the breath, you know, yeah? Until the breath stops. Yeah? It really stops, yeah? Not just disappears. For most people, it just disappears, yeah? Because they lose their interest. You understand that? Yeah?
I think we try to stay in a very long time in a perpetual sunlight.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it takes hours, you know, to get really down, yeah? Sometimes it takes, you know, yeah? Sometimes it took me, you know, 1, 2, 3 breaths and I was gone, yeah? And sometimes, you know, it takes me hours, you know, sitting there for 5 hours and nothing happens, yeah? You're still, the breath is there, you know, it doesn't stop, yeah?
But the awareness seems to be in front of the body.
No. The awareness is here. Because the awareness comes from the citta, yeah? So you will see it, you know, I mean, you will see, you feel, you know, how the knowingness, at the beginning concentration is there, yeah? And the knowingness we develop, but the knowingness actually comes from the citta, yeah? And then, you know, once the breath is so fine, you know, the knowingness drops from where it came, you know, and then we just stay with the concentration and the knowingness in the citta.
But we start with a bit of the nose.
Yeah.
And then after that,
you try to make something. Let things happen. It will automatically happen. If you do it correctly, it will automatically happen. It will fall into the citta, and then you know the breath, and then you know the whole breath body, until you get more and more concentrated, until the breath is only at a very, very single point.
But the change seems not to be dropped to the heart, but it seems to be rising up.
Yes, because your interest is rising up. Because you're not interested in the breath, you're interested in all these phenomena that occur, you know, when you get a little bit calm. You understand? That is the biggest danger, yeah? We're getting interested, you know, suddenly, you know, there's some sound in our ear, or suddenly there's some things, you know, happening in our body, and then, instead of, you know, concentrating on the breath, you know, we concentrate on these things. And then these become more predominant. And then we think the awareness, no. Okay? I know it is difficult, you know, but, you know, I mean, follow the way and it automatically, if you do it correctly, it automatically leads you there. Yeah? You just follow the breath, you know, you just know the breath, yeah? And actually things happening just by themselves. And the more you get interested, I mean, the easier is the transition into Apana Samadhi. It just whoosh, and you can go, yeah? But sometimes, you know, it takes hours, yeah? Okay? So, no more questions? Yeah? Yes, there's one behind. Where is the microphone? What can be achieved and what is very hard to maintain?
The phenomena that Rongpo mentioned just now, dropping down and being one-pointedness.
Yeah.
Sometimes this can be achieved, but it's not easy to maintain for a long time. It just shakes sometimes. It can't stay for a long time. What can I do to make it longer?
Very simple thing, yeah? I mean, when a child learns to walk, it cannot stand for a very long time. So, how can it stand for a long time? The more it trains. That's the only solution to the problem, yeah? Train it every day, and you can stay longer and longer and longer and longer, yeah? Just like in Upachara Samadhi, yeah? You can stay there for hours, you know, or you can stay there only in the beginning for minutes, yeah? But the more often you train it, you know, the longer you can stay there. Yeah? And don't think about achieving anything. Huh? It's doing your work, and the byproduct of your work, yeah, is Upachara Samadhi or Apana Samadhi. It's a byproduct. It's not what we're looking out for. That's what, you know, the expectations, they're constantly burning us up. Yeah? Now, do your work, be interested in your work, and the things will happen automatically. Yeah? If you always look for something, you know, I mean, things will not happen. Yeah? That is something you really, really should know. Yeah? And you really, it should really, you know, penetrate your heart. Yeah? Do your work, and things will happen automatically. Yeah? If you do the work correctly, things will happen as I said. Yeah? But if you expect something, everything can happen. Yeah? And you will try, yeah? And that is not going to bring us anything. Yeah? Okay?
Actually, I don't have a question. Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah? Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. May I just clarify what you mentioned just now? That means when we are doing our samatha, our mana, we just focus on the marga. That means just focus on our breath and not think about the fruits. That means not think of achieving the jhana state. Is that correct?
Did I ever talk about the jhanas?
No, I mean.
And I'm not going to talk about the jhanas. I'm talking about Upachara Samadhi or Apana Samadhi, things that every one of us can reach. Yeah? The jhanas, you know, I mean, there's a few, very, very few people who can reach the jhanas. Yeah? So, we're talking about Upachara Samadhi, Apana Samadhi, you know, and just knowing the breath, yeah? Just like I said before, yeah? I mean, know the breath, you know, and things will happen automatically. If you have practiced the jhanas in the previous life, yeah, I mean, you automatically, instead of going to Upachara Samadhi, you go fall into the jhanas. Because, I mean, your mind is, your chitta is trained to do that, yeah? But if you haven't, you just go into Upachara Samadhi. Okay? And don't expect anything, don't... I mean, so many people, you know, I mean, jhana, 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 yeah? What is that, yeah? Just because, you know, at the time of the Lord Buddha, everybody could do it, you know, because, I mean, look at all these religious sects, you know, they could all go into jhanas, yeah? Huh? And the followers of the Lord Buddha could do the jhanas. But nowadays, nobody, you know, especially if you handle your smartphone, nobody can even go into Upachara Samadhi, huh? Because the mind constantly goes out, yeah? I mean, the training of the jhana, my venerable teacher Lungta Mahabho said, if you want to train the jhanas, yeah? I mean, you have to sit for 18 years in a cave, you know, and just do the jhana training. Yeah? 18 years, yeah? And he said, in the same time you can reach arahantship. Yeah? So why wasting your time on the jhanas, yeah? You want some magic? And that is the only reason, you know, why people want to do jhanas, yeah? Okay?
Sorry, maybe I have a misconception.
What?
Yeah, sorry, maybe I have a misconception. My thinking was that if we were to achieve the absorption stage, that means one mindedness, that means we enter into jhana. Is my concept of the samadhi correct?
No, it's not correct. Apana samadhi is apana samadhi. Yeah? The fourth jhana is very close, you know, but it is on a different level. Upachara samadhi, you know, I mean, you know, upachara samadhi can start, you know, from the same as the first jhana, you know, down to the third jhana, yeah? But the jhana is on a high level. Samadhi is on a low level. Yeah? And you cannot jump to this high level if you don't know how to train it. Yeah? So the jhanas are the jhanas and samadhi is samadhi, yeah? Upachara samadhi, apana samadhi, that's enough, you know, for us, yeah? I mean, if you happen to fall in the jhanas, you know, come and see me, you know? Yeah? But if you don't, you know, I mean, just practice upachara samadhi, yeah? And Lungta never talked, Lungta Mahabho never talked about it. He said, you know, if you happen, you know, come and see me, yeah? But he doesn't want to talk because, you know, it is, you know, so many people, especially Westerners, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, fifth jhana, sixth jhana, seventh jhana, eighth jhana, Nibbana. No! I mean, the Lord Buddha practiced the lower jhanas, the rupa jhanas, and the arupa jhanas, and he still didn't go into Nibbana. I mean, he had to sacrifice, you know, everything for 7 years, you know, as being an ascetic, you know, and that was also not the way, yeah? I mean, he practiced the jhana, you know, until his teacher said, oh, now you teach the jhana. I said, no, I'm still, you know, whenever I come out of the jhana, I'm still in the world, you know, everything is the same. So what is the purpose of it, yeah? And then he practiced ascetic practices, you know, I mean, you know, he didn't eat anything, you know, except when it fell into his lap, yeah? And then he saw, this is also not the right way, yeah? And then he went the middle way. Okay? Understood? The state of what? Equanimity. I mean, are you talking about the Brahma Viharas or what? People who study, yeah. If you go into upachara samadhi, you have equanimity. It comes there, you know, I mean, you're not bothered by anything else, yeah? Huh? I mean, the only thing that bothers you, you know, if you're not in upachara samadhi, is the kilesas that constantly draw your attention to this or that or that or that, yeah? But if you're in upachara samadhi, you know, you're free from the kilesas, that is equanimity. Yeah? It's not the same as the Brahma Viharas, you know, and I'm not talking about the Brahma Viharas, yeah? The equanimity, you know, that you gain, you know, in upachara samadhi, or, yeah, I mean, there is no equanimity even in apana samadhi because there is nothing in apana samadhi, yeah? And you have to go there, you know, I mean, don't fool yourself with words or, you know, or concepts, you know. Do the practice. See what is happening. Yeah? Stay with the breath, know the breath, until you drop into upachara samadhi, and then you know. You don't have to ask questions, you don't have to read books, yeah? I mean, how did the Lord Buddha know, teach us? Huh? Did he read books? And then he taught us from the books, you know? Yeah? And all of his arahants, you know, I mean, the 1250 arahants, you know, at the Maga, what is, yeah, Maga Pucha, yeah? Did they read anything? No. I mean, they listened to the teaching of the Lord Buddha and they practiced, you know, in accordance to the Lord Buddha, you know, and they reached arahantship, you know, the way it was taught to them. There were no books, you know, there were no confusing languages as well, yeah? I mean, the Pali has been translated in so many languages, you know, I mean, and there are so many errors in the Pali canon, yeah? So, I mean, I rely on the people who actually know what they're talking about, yeah? How to read upachara samadhi, how to read apana samadhi, yeah? And what is happening, yeah? Okay? Yes. Don't try to get rid of anything, you know, concentrate on the breath more. Yeah? Yes, I know. I mean, that is what is happening when it first becomes calm, then you realize, you know, there are a lot of background thoughts, you know. But if you're concentrated on the breath, you know, I mean, this also goes away. Yeah? You be more interested in the breath, yeah? Because at the moment you're interested in what is going on in the back of your mind, you know, and that amplifies it. Yeah? Whatever, yeah, when we are calm, you know, and when we are concentrated, whatever we concentrate on, you know, becomes really amplified. Yeah? So put your interest back on the breath, you know, and these things just disappear. Knowingness, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to confuse you. Knowingness is an aspect of the citta. Yeah? You cannot really experience the citta. You are the citta. Every one of us is the citta. You cannot experience the citta. You can only experience the aspects of the citta. And one of the aspects is knowingness. Yeah? Other things are greed, hatred and delusion, or avijja. Yeah? And sati, no, sati or knowingness, yeah? Or awareness, yeah? It's not knowingness. The pure citta is pure knowingness, but it doesn't know of any object. Yeah? The citta, you know, our defined citta knows about objects. Yeah? When you go into apana samadhi, there's only pure knowingness, because there are no objects anymore. Yeah? So you cannot experience the citta. Yeah? I mean, what you experience is the feeling, you know, I mean the peaceful feeling, you know, and yeah, that's it, yeah. And this peaceful feeling is an aspect of the citta, yeah.
Then what is knowingness?
Knowingness is knowing anything about the object that I'm observing. I know that the breath is subtle, I know that the breath is rough, I know that the breath is in-breath, I know that the breath is out-breath. That is knowingness. Yeah, that's why I said, you know, I mean, go to the zoo and observe animals, you know what they are doing. You don't have to, you don't have to articulate it. Yeah. Next time you go, yeah, or watch animals here, you know, I mean, wherever you go in the garden, you know, in the gardens, you know, watch the animals, you know, watch a squirrel, you know, and then observe it, you know, observe it. You know what it is doing. And that is the knowingness I'm talking about. That, no? Sorry, but I did not understand your question. What is your question?
I was doing meditation, sometimes I get some feeling of tension in front of my body.
Tension? Yeah, if you feel some tension, you know, and you know there's some tension, you know, relax it, you know, and then go back to the breath. What? Yeah, I mean, you're already distracted if you feel the tension, yeah? But, you know, sometimes the tension comes from concentrating too strong on the object, yeah? Yeah? I mean, then relax, yeah? I mean, if the object is there, observe it, yeah? If the object goes out, you know, if the mind goes out, you know, into thinking or memorizing, you know, then you need to put the effort. To put it back at its place, once it is at its place, observe it, yeah? And then there are normally no tensions arising, yeah? I mean, tensions, you know, or sometimes headache, you know, people really try to push, you know, push the concentration around the tip of the nose and then they become headache. That's wrong, yeah? You don't, you know, you don't force a horse, you know, that is riding in the right direction, you know, because then it throws you off, yeah? And that is the same thing. If you push too much, you know, on the object, you know, I mean, then it becomes tensions, you know, and it throws you off, yeah? Understand that, you know, I mean, once you see the object clearly, know the object, yeah, observe the object, yeah, and that's it, yeah, when the mind goes out, pull it back, yeah, and that's where you need the effort, yeah, once it is back, observe it again, okay? So, okay, then, okay, yeah. Happy meditation.